You know, I come to church, I feel the Holy Spirit, gets me excited. I just love the feeling of the Holy Spirit when He comes over you. I just love that feeling. But, you know, we tend to think that it can only happen at church, but it says that we are the tabernacle, right? We are the temple of God. He dwells within us. The Holy Spirit dwells within us, and He goes everywhere we go. So if I can stand and praise Him here, I'm a child of God. Yes, I am. And I can say that out loud. I can say that at Walmart too, right? Amen. How many of you can stand in the aisles at Walmart and shout, I am a child of God. Yes, I am, out loud? It's a little awkward, isn't it? People will look at you like you're nuts, right? Yeah. But you know, that's the kind of the way I feel. I feel like, you know, that's where I go, wherever I go now. I want to just express that feeling. You know, I want everybody to understand what that feeling is. But it's not everybody does. That's reality, right? Not everybody knows what it means to live a Spirit-filled life. The Spirit-filled life doesn't mean you don't have worldly issues, and I don't mean that fleshly issues. That's not what I'm talking about. Some of us deal with those things, but that's what the Spirit does. The Spirit helps you get rid of that stuff, right? Spirit lives within you to get rid of that stuff. I'm talking about dealing with worldly problems. We have to deal with that, okay? But that Holy Spirit living within you gives you all the ability to deal with all that. Today is Pentecost Sunday. Today is the day, the birth of the church. And in the book of Acts, Acts is what? The Acts, right? It's an action word. It's action, right? This is what happened. This is the birth of the church. It's a wonderful time in history. But Jesus said, let me get my notes together here. I've got about 14 pages this morning, but I promise you I won't keep you past one. I'm just kidding. I never preach long. And I've always said this, long-winded preachers kill people, right? Paul did it, right? The young man, he preached long, young man fell out of the wind and died. It happens, it's true. The first part of Acts, it talks about Jesus. He said he was... He had, after his resurrections, he'd been on the earth. He'd come back and he had, you know, been with the disciples off and on. He'd ministered to them. And right here in the book of Acts, and in the first chapter, verse 4 and 5, it says, "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift the Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized you with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." And then they gathered around him and asked him, "Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom of Israel?" And he said to them, "It is not for you to know the times and the dates the Father has set before his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." Amen. He's telling them that, you know, here in a few days, you're going to receive power. You're going to receive the Holy Spirit, which I've told you about, and the prophets have told you about, that this is what's going to happen. And, you know, I want to ask the question, why we need the Holy Spirit? Why do we need the Holy Spirit in our lives? Why was Jesus leaving? And then he says, I'm leaving, and where I'm going, you can't go. But I've got to go. And I'm going to get into that in a minute. He says, I have to go so the Holy Spirit can come. Now here, he's been with them for 3 years, and he's been teaching them and ministering to them, and they relied on him, and then all of a sudden he gets crucified, you know, and they all fell apart and didn't know what to do. They went back to fishing, they went to doing all these other things, and then he appeared to them, kind of pushed them on the right path again. Come on, guys, this is not where I, you know. There was a reason for all that, and now we find he's like, okay, now here's what I want you to do. I want you to go to this upper room, and I want you to wait there. And we find in chapter 2, if you turn with me to chapter 2, starting in verse 1. I want to pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for your word. Lord, give me wisdom. Lord, clear my heart, clear my mind of anything that would hinder me from speaking your word clearly this morning. Let me be guided only by the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. It said, when the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. In the King James, it says they were all in one accord. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire and separated, and it came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven, and when they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one heard their own language being spoken. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Aren't all these who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hear them in our own native language? Corinthians, Medes, Elamites, Rizenites, words you can't pronounce, right? Judea, I get tongue-tied sometimes. Pontius, and Asia. They heard them in all these languages. I'm going to stop right there. They heard them in all these languages the day of Pentecost. So can you imagine being a part of that? Now, what would you think if that happened right here this morning, right now? If you witnessed that, if you were a part of that, can you imagine? Can you imagine what that was like? How many of you believe that this happened? How many of you believe this, 100%, that this happened? You believe the Scripture, you believe it happened, right? It did. How many of you believe, you don't have to raise your hand, how many of you believe that it can happen today just like it did then?
Amen.
I think there's so many that don't believe that. I think they say they believe it, but they truly don't believe it in their heart. They truly don't believe the power of the Holy Spirit can actually guide and direct you in your life, can do extraordinary things when needed done. And I say they heard these languages that were spoken then, all everybody around heard them speaking in their own language. That was a miracle at that time. I've heard of miracles like that before. I've been told by friends, pastor friends, of things that happened overseas where a pastor was preaching and he had an interpreter, and halfway through his message, the interpreter sat down. And after the guy got done preaching, he asked the interpreter, he said, "Why did you sit down?" He said, "I didn't need to interpret." He said, "You were speaking better than me." I mean, the power of the Holy Spirit still works today if we believe in that power. The Holy Spirit is the third person of the Trinity, and tonight we're going to talk about the Trinity. I'm excited about the talk tonight. I'm excited about it. I hope you all can make it tonight because it's going to be good. It's going to be good. But why do we need the Holy Spirit? Why is it so important in our lives? Number one, so we can understand. So we can understand. And if you look at Romans chapter 8, verse 9. It says, "You, however, are not in the realm of the flesh, but are in the realm of the Spirit. If indeed the Spirit God lives in you, and if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, they do not belong to Christ. But if Christ is in you, then even though your body is subject to death because of sin, the Spirit gives you life because of righteousness. And if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, you also raise Christ from the dead, will also give you life to your mortal bodies because of His Spirit who lives in you." Why do I mention that? Why do I mention that? Because the Spirit lives within you. That's my point to start off with. The Spirit lives within you so that you can understand certain things. Now, 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. So you know that the Spirit lives within you. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. Remember what I said at first, where there's just some people that don't understand? It says, the person without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, but considers them foolishness and cannot understand them because they are discerned only through the Spirit. So we have the Spirit that lives within us, but it helps us discern and understand the things of God. We will never understand all the things of God. We cannot understand, but the Holy Spirit that lives within us allows us to understand the things that we need to know. Well, we can't know everything. God is too complicated for us to know everything. But because of the Holy Spirit living within us, it gives us the ability to understand. And when the disciples didn't comprehend that at first, Jesus was with them and told them and taught them the things that they didn't understand. And they were there to ask questions. But now he's going to be gone. He said, you have to have the Holy Spirit living within you so that you can understand. Let's look at 1 Corinthians, verse 4. Chapter 2, verse 4. 14. I read 14. Let's go to 4. Let's see, did I mark it? Okay. My message and my preaching were not with wise and persuasive words, but with a demonstration of the Spirit's power, so that your faith might not rest on human wisdom, but on God's power. See, sometimes we want to think through things on our own instead of relying on the Holy Spirit to guide us and direct us. And that's what I'm getting at this morning. The Holy Spirit has to be in complete control of our lives. It has to be in complete control of our lives. And it is a person. It's a person of God. It is the third person of God that lives within you. That's important. Do you imagine that? I mean, you comprehend that God lives within you? I mean, that's crazy for me to understand, right? God is, he can be, he pours it out on all of us. So the Holy Spirit gives us the ability to understand the things that God wants us to understand. I mean, how many of us have gone through life and been in certain situations where we just didn't understand? I am. I go through those things quite often. I don't get it. I don't understand why people die with cancer. I don't understand why this happens. I don't understand why this happens. I don't understand why I have to go through this. I don't understand. Those things I don't understand. But sometimes God's like, you know what? You don't need to understand this now. You just need to trust me and have faith. And later on, I'll let you understand it. Because now I can look back. I can look back at things that happened years ago. And I can say, oh, I understand why I went through that now. Because where I'm at now, I would have never been there if that hadn't happened. See what I'm saying? Sometimes it's for our good that we don't understand. The second thing, he's our helper. Let's look at John 14. John 14, 15 through 17. It says, if you love me, keep my commands, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you an advocate to help you and to be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him. For he lives within you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come into you, and before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me because I live in you. You also will live, and on that day you'll realize that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Whoever has my commands and keeps them is the one who loves me, And the one who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love them and show myself to them. See, it says right here, he says, I will give you an advocate to help you. God will help you. The Holy Spirit will help you in the things in your life. Romans 8:26. Let's go back to Romans 8:26. I'm going to read this. Romans 8:26 says, in the same way the Spirit helps us, see, in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us through the world for wordless groans. And He who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God. He helps us when we don't know what to say. He helps us when we need, in those times where we're struggling with things, when we go to Him and we just pray, you know, Lord, help me in this time. He brings that peace over us. He ensures that hope that we have. He builds our faith up. That's the Spirit. You know, over and over again, the Spirit that is within you. The Spirit that is within you. I love that. So He helps us understand. He's our helper through times of struggle. He's also a gift giver. Everybody likes gifts, right? Everybody, Mikey loves his gifts. I love gifts. Christmas time comes. Everybody likes to get a gift, right? Come on now. Everybody likes to get a gift. So, and when you don't get a gift, I'll tell you, don't give somebody a gift and you see what happens. For Christmas. Leave somebody out, right? We all like gifts, so why would we not want gifts from God? You ever ask for a gift from God? Who here asks daily for a gift from God? Lord, give me a gift. Why? I mean, He offers gifts to us. He's gifted many. We have people who play music. We have people that are teachers. We have people that are that speak the word. We have all these people. We have people that prophesy. Come on now. If we look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. I'm going to read a little bit here. I hear pages turning. I love to hear that. Paul's talking here. He says, now about the gifts of the Spirit. The gifts of the Spirit. What are we talking about this morning? We're talking about the Spirit, right? He said, now the gifts of the Spirit. Brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be uninformed. You know that when you were pagans, somehow or other, you were influenced and led astray to mute idols. Therefore, I want you to know that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says, Jesus be cursed. And no one can say, Jesus, Lord, except by the Holy Spirit. I want to mention that. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in every one, it is the same God at work. Amen. He gives us gifts. He goes on to say in verse 7, he says, now to each one the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom, to another a message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the one Spirit, to another miracles or miraculous powers, to another prophecy, and to another distinguishing between spirits, and to another speaking in different kinds of tongues, and to still another the interpretation of tongues, and to all the works of one and the same Spirit, and He distributes them to each one just as He determines. So, each one of us has the opportunity of a gift. Each one of us. But He determines who He gives it to if we live by the Spirit. So gifts are real. God wants to give you gifts. God wants to bless you with gifts. Sometimes I think that we've gotten away with realizing the power that God gives us and is available to us. He convicts the world. That's what the Holy Spirit does. It convicts the world. Let's look at John 16. John 16. Verse 7. This is what Jesus said to him. He said, "But verily, truly, I tell you, it is for your good that I am going away. Unless I go away, the Advocate will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. When he comes, he will prove the world to be in the wrong about sin and righteousness and judgment. About sin, because people do not believe in me. About righteousness, because I am going to the Father where you can see me no longer. And about judgment, because the prince of this world now stands condemned. I have much more to say to you, more than you can now bear. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all the truth." Amen. You know, he convicts us, and when we look at that, when we think about that, you know, in Ezekiel 11, it talked about that, that he would make a covenant. And in Jeremiah 31, 33, he said he would make a covenant. He would write the laws upon the hearts of all men so that they would know the truth that believe. And it would, you know, it's not me. Sometimes people get aggravated at Christians because of what we stand for and how we believe. But it's not us that's bringing the conviction. It's the Holy Spirit that brings the conviction. And the church is being judged today very strongly because of what they believe in. And that's what the Holy Spirit brings conviction. There's a lot of people that, you know, they think their way. They want to justify their way instead of living by the Spirit. They don't want to accept the Holy Spirit into their life and be controlled by that, because they don't want to be in control or out of control. They want to be controlled by themselves. If that makes sense. Number five, the Holy Spirit works in our lives. It wants to conform us to the ways of the Father. It wants to conform us to the ways of Jesus, the ways of the Son. We need to be like Jesus. What did Jesus do? Let's look at what are those ways. Let's look at Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. Verse 22. Let's back up to verse 16. It says, "So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh." And if we go on down to verse 22, it says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law." See, that's what the Holy Spirit brings to your life. Because when the Word becomes, when the Holy Spirit dwells within you, then the Word dwells within you. And the Word, what was Jesus? This is who Jesus was. Jesus was the only one that was born in a fleshly body that was born perfect. He was separated from sin. He was not a sinful person. We were born into sin. That's the way we were born. But Jesus wasn't born that way. He was born sinless. He was the only one. And he walked this earth and he says, "This is the way you need to live." And when the Holy Spirit lives within you, if the Holy Spirit lives within you, this is who you are. If you're living by the Spirit, you're kind, and you're compassionate. You're self-controlled. You're gentle. All these things, he said, this is who you are if you're living by the Spirit. We don't live by the flesh anymore, and we know when we live by the flesh, it's completely the opposite of that. When we let the flesh take control. Number six, it gives us power. Acts chapter 1, back to Acts chapter 1, what did he say? Let me find it here. Verse 8. Chapter 1, verse 8, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes over you, and you'll be my witnesses. Power, what kind of power is he talking about? He's talking about the power to overcome this world that we live in. Because it's tough to live here in this world. It's not easy. We're always tempted and we're trialed all the time. And without the Holy Spirit in our life, we're going to fail every time. We have to have the Holy Spirit living in our lives. That's why we need it. That's why Jesus said, I'm going to send you this, the Holy Spirit. You have to have the Holy Spirit in your life. You have to live by the Spirit, or you're not going to make it to heaven. Some people don't want to hear that. But you have to live by the Spirit. It gives us the ability, the power. What? What did Jesus do? He cast out devils, right? Does that still exist today? Yes, it does. He gives us the power to heal people. He gives us the power to do greater things than I, is what Jesus said. You will do greater things than I did. Well, what were those things? What things I'm talking about? I think we've stopped accepting that power. We've stopped realizing that when we live a life in the Holy Spirit, we have power within us that we can't understand. We can't contain it. We just have to live by it. Just let it work through us. Paul was guided throughout all different regions. And he would talk with the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit would tell him, listen, you know, the Holy Spirit would say, you know, Paul would say, I'm going to this place. Holy Spirit, there's conversation he'd have, and he said, you know, you're going to get arrested, you're going to get beat up, you're going to get thrown in jail. And Paul would go anyway, but he'd have this conversation with the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity. It's a person. It's something personal that lives within you, that wants a relationship with you, that wants to commune with you. And it's not a one-time thing that you just get a feeling of the Holy Spirit, you accept Christ into your life, and then that's it, and it's done. No, it's a continual, it's an everyday, continual, all the time, thought, prayer, continuing in the Spirit, praying to the, you know, Lord, help me, keep me full, keep my gas tank full. Well, you guys are quiet this morning. It must be boring. How can I receive the Holy Spirit? How do you receive the Holy Spirit? You ever ask that question? You wonder how you receive the Holy Spirit in your life. You know, I think the reason that our churches and ourselves personally, why we fail so much with this thought of being a Spirit-filled church or being a Spirit-filled person is because of what the Bible says right there in the first part that we read. He said the disciples were in the upper room and they were together as one. or they were in one accord, meaning they were together. They had one mindset. They were all there for the same reason. And I think that's what happens to us when we come together as a church. When we come together and meet on Sunday or whatever Wednesday it is, whatever day that is, when we come together, we should come together as one with one thing on our mind for one reason and one purpose, and that's to praise our Father that is in heaven and to seek the Holy Spirit, to seek His understanding, to seek His presence, to seek to be filled with Him continually. And it said they prayed continually. They prayed and they prayed and they prayed. But see, they had to do something at first. We need the Holy Spirit in our life to bring order to our life. Now listen to me this morning. Without the Holy Spirit in your life, there's disorder in your life. When we look at the Hebrew language, when we look at the Hebrew alphabet, the Hebrew alphabet is made up of 22 letters and 5 finals that complete their alphabet. But for each letter, there's a number that represents that letter. In the Greek, there is the same thing. There's 24 letters in the Greek alphabet, and there's 3 finals in the Greek alphabet, and each one of those letters has a number that represents that. Now, when the disciples, when Judas did what he did, okay, he was removed as one of the disciples, so it only left 11 disciples, right? When they had to remove him. Well, when we look at the Hebrew numbers, the number 11 is the number of disorder. It's what it means. It means disorder. And so they could not be complete until they chose somebody else, and that's why that's in the Scripture. Because it says Peter stood up and he said, we need to choose somebody to fulfill where Judas and take his place. Because the number 12, and see, then they went through and they cast lots. They chose, he said, we need somebody who's been with us all this time. And then they cast lots and it came to Matthias. And so they chose Matthias to complete that number 12, because number 12 is the number of the church. And it is the perfect order of the church. That's what it means. Perfect order. It's amazing. Numbers are significant in the Scriptures. It's an amazing thing when you start looking at the numbers. So if we are shy, I want to read this. Okay? 11 is disorder. Also disorganized, lack of fulfillment, and imperfect is what it means in the Hebrew and Greek language. And the children of Israel, when they left Mount Sinai, they walked 11 days. If they'd walked one more day, they would have been able to go into the promised land, but they were not allowed because of their disobedience. 11 days. Disorder. Disorganized. Twelve means perfection of government. 12 is the number of the church. If we look in the Scripture, we find that there's 12 months in the year. That's no coincidence. There are 12 tribes of Israel. There were 12 pillars that were erected at Mount Sinai. There were 12 pillars who were erected at the Promised Land. There were 12 statues of oxen held up at the water basin. I'm telling you, all through the Scripture, 12 men were selected by God to conduct the census. 12 princes of Israel brought gifts to the sanctuary in 12 days. 12 spies sent to Canaan. 12 years, Jesus started his, you know, he was 12 years old. Why all these numbers? There's a reason why these numbers in there. There was 12 apostles, 144,000 Jews. When you're studying the book of Revelation, that's 12 times 12, which is 144,000, which represents the 12. I could go into this all day. It excites me, to the numbers do, but maybe not you guys so much, but there was 12 foundations of the New Jerusalem, the tree of life, and the new creation will bear 12 kinds of fruits. We'll get there, John. Yep, that's right. And it's amazing. And why do I say all this? Because God has this magnificent plan of things, and I think sometimes we just ignore it in our lives. We get so tied up in the world and all that's going on in our lives that we forget about all the wonderful things that God wants to do with us in our life. And when we start focusing on living a Spirit-filled life and start focusing on what the Holy Spirit wants to do through us in our life, that's when we find order and comfort and love and unity, and all those things come when we live a Spirit-filled life. And when we try to walk away, because I say this over and over again, that's why there's so many scriptures that talk about you can't, you know, like the church of Laodicea, you can't live in both places. You can't, your heart cannot be in both places. Your heart cannot be for God and be for the world at the same time. We have to make that choice. We either live by the Spirit or we don't live by the Spirit. And God has chosen us and called us to be Spirit-filled people and to live by the Spirit. I don't know how else to say it this morning. We need the Holy Spirit to bring order to our lives. You get a church that's not unified, what do you have? Disorder, don't you? You get a church that's unified, that comes together, that their focus is not on anything but just loving Jesus and praising Him, what happens? That's what God wants. That's what He wants from the church, and that's what He wants from you. He just wants you. That's it. He wants you to know His power. He wants to know that He can do great things for you. That's what He wants. So I ask you this morning, do you need Jesus this morning? Do you need the Holy Spirit in your life this morning? You need the Holy Spirit in your life. You need Him to be in control of your life. All you have to do is say, come into my heart. You know, we live in an imperfect world. We have an imperfect body that fails us, but we have the perfect love of Christ that lives within us. We have the Holy Spirit, who is the perfecter of all things, that lives inside of you. You are the temple of the Jehovah God Almighty. And through all the disorder that is in this world, we can walk in order and in love and in mercy in the grace of God. And all we have to do is just ask Him, Lord, fill my heart with Your Holy Spirit. Cleanse me of all unrighteousness. Purge me. That's what that dying out, that giving up of the flesh. Getting rid of the old man. It's that simple. It's that simple. And God wants it for every one of us, not just for a select few. He wants it for each and every one that's here this morning. I'm praying right now. We've had such a wonderful service, and I don't want to keep you any longer. But right now, I just pray that if there's anyone here this morning that needs their tank filled, That's something we just have to continually do on a daily basis. It's just, Lord, fill me up. Lord, fill my cup, Lord. That's what that song was written about. Fill me up, Lord. I need all of Him every day or I fail. Lest I fall short, I will. Living in the Spirit's the best life. Let's stand for prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank You so much, Lord. I thank You for Your Word, Lord. I thank You for Your mercy and Your grace, Lord. Keep us strong in the faith. Lord, let us leave here with the knowledge that You go with us everywhere we go. Lord, I pray that if anybody here this morning doesn't have that personal relationship with You, Lord, that You just open up the windows of heaven and fall on them this morning, Lord. Open their eyes so that they may understand the fullness and the glory that You can give. I praise You and I thank You in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.